Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Ad Hoc FM, unserem Podcast zur Veranstaltungsreihe FM Ad Hoc. Ich bin Stan, neben mir sitzt Louis. Corona-bedingt hat sich jetzt alles etwas verzögert, wie ihr euch sicher denken könnt. Wir wissen auch noch nicht wirklich, wie es mit der Veranstaltungsreihe weitergeht, wollen aber trotzdem die konzertfreie Zeit nutzen, euch unsere neue Podcast-Folge zu präsentieren.
Hallo auch von mir. Seit dem letzten Podcast konnten leider nur zwei Veranstaltungen stattfinden. Die anderen mussten bis auf Weiteres verschoben werden. Wir hoffen aber, wie gesagt, dass wir die so schnell wie möglich nachholen können. Gesprochen haben wir damals aber mit Tomoko Sauvage und mit Valerio Trecoli und Hanno Leichtmann. Die Interviews möchten wir in Ausschnitten im Folgenden dokumentieren. Wir haben gesprochen, wie gewohnt, über das Thema der Improvisation in der Musik und haben natürlich auch ein paar andere Themen geschnitten nebenbei. Außerdem haben wir auch einen Live-Mitschnitt vom Konzert von Tomoko Sauvage. Wir hoffen, ihr habt Spaß beim Hören. Viel Spaß.
Die soeben gehörte Musik ist eine Aufnahme von Tomoko Sauvages Waterbowl-Konzert in der Pracht. Sie benutzt mit Wasser gefüllte Glas- und Porzellanschüsseln unterschiedlicher Größe, um Musik zu kreieren. Die Schwingungen des Wassers und der Schüsseln werden mittels Hydrophon, einem Unterwassermikrofon, aufgenommen und über Lautsprecher ausgespielt. Die dabei entstehenden Klänge wirken wiederum auf das Schwingungsverhalten der Schüsseln zurück. Die aus Yokohama stammende Künstlerin studierte Jazzpiano in New York, ehe sie zu ihrem jetzigen Instrument fand.
I was playing the piano. I started piano lessons quite early, like 4 years old, and it was like classical music, so like really European composers. I was feeling strange about is that the acoustic space actually of the Japanese house and the piano, it wasn't really sounding right, because it at one time I was putting a grand piano. I mean, it's not like super grand, but like mini baby grand piano, Yamaha, in tatami room. Like tatami is like it's a mat with plant-based mat with paper and wooden shields. Isn't it shields? Like doors and walls, and like kind of typical Japanese style room. And in Japan, it's really humid, especially in summer. And that the piano is wood, so it absorbs water, of course, and it sounds really, really, in summer when it's really humid, it sounds bad, like really not sounding. And also this room was small, and yeah, really the piano was not sounding right. They say when traditional Japanese musicians play instruments in Europe, like shamisen, this kind of guitar, kind of chord instrument, they wrap their instrument with letters to give a humidity, to keep the humidity of the instrument, because the instruments come from humid atmosphere. So yeah, this kind of doubt on the piano, the Western instrument, was present in quite early years, I would say. And when I came to France, I was playing a Steinway in a conservatory, high ceiling, a building made with stones, and that was sounding really, really differently, and it was making really sense to play the piano there. So there was this kind of thing in my culture, the origin of my feelings.
Musikalische Einflüsse.
After studying jazz, I was searching for, I don't know, like my voice. And I was influenced by, I think, the intersection of Eastern culture and Western culture in the States. in music and arts in the 60s, and there was this big influence from India and Japan and Asia and elsewhere, in everywhere actually. And I think that was my big influence. And I was listening to Alice Coltrane and Terry O'Reilly, their pianistic styles, influenced by Indian music actually.
Water Bowls und das indische Idiophon Chaltarangam.
And then I moved to Paris, and I was also so studying a little bit of Hindustani music, the improvisational method. And on one day I happened to be in a concert of Anayam Patikanesan. He's a musician from South India, from Chennai. He plays Carnatic music on an instrument called Chaltarangam. It's composed with a series of porcelain bowls filled with water and hit with bamboo sticks. And that struck me, and I started to hit bowls in my kitchen, and that's how everything started. I was into the water movement of this instrument. What struck me most was this movement of water, which is never stable, always moving, and the sound that we can create, like a sort of vibrato or kind of wow effect with water waves. Was like fascinating me, and I somehow felt like immersing myself into the water. I mean, of course, everybody loves water, and I was playing with water like a kid, and just felt so good just touching water and watching water movements. And so I heard about hydrophones. I didn't know much about electroacoustic music. I never studied it properly. Like, I'm totally autodidact about these techniques. And someone was talking about hydrophones because he was doing a field recording in of the aquatic insects. So I bought one, and it was like really, I felt lots of potentials, and yeah, it changed my life, and it changed the instrument, and yeah.
Thank you. feedback.
And I think another point was that when I started to deliberately use feedback in the music, first it was annoying me, or I tried to eliminate the feedback. And at one time I said it's too beautiful, and I try to play with it, and then it, I think, changed the main characteristics of the instrument. It's I started to hear the environment, because before I was trying to separate somehow, because it's the way to eliminate feedback is to separate each between microphones and speakers, or separate certain frequencies on the mixer. But then things have changed, and it went to they became more connected. Each element got connected, and it's getting more and more like this. Still now, actually, right now I'm trying to work a lot with overtones, and of course sometimes it works better, sometimes not. But it's really fascinating, the relationship of each frequency emitted by each ball, each microphone. There's interconnection between each frequency and each overtone, and there's some kind of auto-tune effect, which is still mysterious to me, but I'm trying to figure out and trying to work more on it.
Der Klang im Raum.
My main improvisation is the relation to acoustics of the space, but also the people in there, because it, and all the objects that the sound actually vibrates.
Kontrolle und Zufall.
I try my best to prepare the best environment for my balls, but after that it's really a lot of hazards, a lot of that I have to catch somehow at the right moment, but you never know. So it's a balance between control and non-control. It's like I'm trying to navigate. Sometimes I say that it's a funambule, like tightrope walking, to keep a balance point between saturation and fullness that I need to maintain the feedback loops. And of course that the water is evaporating constantly, after the sound check, if there's 1 hour, 2 hours, it radically changes the pitches. And so I have to play with it, and the humidity, the temperature of the room affect the frequencies of the notes that are defined by the quantity of water. And also like just the small difference in the positioning the speakers, the boards, the microphones, like really millimeter difference change the thing. And yeah, I don't know how to do it, but I'm doing it forever.
Dialog mit Schüsseln.
I'm really doing dialogues with the bowls, the water. And actually, it's already a lot because I have to really listen to them, which is the sound can be really subtle. So playing with another musician, for me, it's... With this instrument, it's not easy. And it doesn't make sense, actually. I really have to, dialogue with the bowls. It's as if my hands become bowls, ceramic or water. You know, like it's somehow, there's also a loop, actually, between my body, my right hand in the water, my left hand on the mixer, all connected with cables and electricity. And somehow this becomes one, you know, like the electricity, the cables, bowls, water, air in my body, and you know, a gallerist I'm working with just told me that because I was talking about the extension of my body, which are the balls, you know, the balls are like the extension of my hands. And she said, you know, but two hands are like a ball and it's beautiful, isn't it? So yeah, it's something about continuity and loops, yeah, feedback loops. Well, yeah, unpredictability is surely and hazard. Surely the elements I have to play with, but like life, huh? Like which we are doing all the time. But somehow maybe I'm learning more and more how to catch that instant. You know the important moment, how not to miss this moment, you know, it's one thing, I think. And when you are sensitive, you are aware of this, I think you can really navigate, of course, not always, but when things go well, I feel that everything is going on like as if I'm not doing anything, like automatically, like naturally, like I'm not doing anything, but things just move, like even my hands, like I don't know, like I don't think and I just do and something happens and yeah, this kind of moment can happen and yeah, when there's not this, then it's not a good concert, yeah, maybe. All the instrumentalists have like a very intimate relationship with their objects, the instruments. It's like a life partner. And for example, these bubbles, these the ceramic, porous ceramic that I'm using to make this bubble sound, are often encouraging me, like, and surprising me at the moment I'm playing, because sometimes the feedback part didn't go well, but the ceramic was like sounding incredible, and like I was just, you know, it just changes totally the mood of the of me, actually. It's somehow I cannot think that it's just an object, you know. It's a living thing. It's someone, actually.
Der aus Palermo in Italien stammende Musiker Valerio Tricoli beschäftigt sich seit über einem Jahrzehnt mit den klanglichen Möglichkeiten des Revox B77 Reel-to-Reel Tape Recorders. Live-Sampling und improvisierte Echtzeit-Transformationen der Klänge kennzeichnen seinen von der historischen Musik konkret beeinflussten musikalischen Stil. Hanno Leichtmann, auch bekannt als Static, ist unter anderem elektronischer Musiker, Soundartist, Drummer, Mitglied zahlreicher Kollaborationen, Kurator konzeptueller Festivals und Konzerte, Labelbetreiber, kurzum eine wichtige Figur der experimentellen Musikszene in Berlin. Wir hören die beiden Künstler im Interview und Musik der beiden als Duo.
How did I come to music? It's a longer story, but let's begin that I started playing drums with the age of 15, and I classically learned playing on the street in sessions and stuff. And then with 19, I started to take lessons in drums, and then I studied a little bit of jazz drums 1 year, actually, and then I've been already into improvised music, and then I moved on to electronic music, and now it mixes a little bit with the project with Valerio and the project with Group Show, I play this kind of, technically it's drums, but what you hear is also electronic. Mostly, I would say I'm a studio musician making sound art at the moment. It's the most thing I do.
I was listening to different kind of music all my life, but then at one point I discovered experimental music, kind of like, and I thought that I could actually do that, and so I did it. I couldn't really play any instrument, and I really wanted to be a musician, and then I find out that you could be a musician without like being able to play anything. Then maybe eventually I learned to play something, but well, in the very beginning I was like experimenting with making noises, recording them with mini discs. We are talking like, you know, end of the 90s, before using like the Revocs. Early I was using like mini discs and cassette recorders, like this Tascam. Then at one point I bought a 4-track quarter inch tape recorder that I used still to record the mixing sounds, and then I discovered the loop technique. Then finally I met Jérôme Nottinger, who was using the Revox, and I was just like, wow, this is the machine that you could use to do exactly what I want to do. And he's like, and he taught me, I mean, he taught me how to do it a bit, and then the rest I figured out to myself. I mean, again, it's pretty easy anyway. I mean, you know, some people say like, ah, oh, you are a virtuoso of the tape machine. It's just like, well, I mean, it's like two knobs and like two switches. I mean, as much as you know, I mean, it's like, it's technically very easy. Like, in a way, I believe that each one of you would learn all that I know in like in a couple of hours, and then just with some practice you can do that. But finally, to add to the point, as much as like, then it depends on what are the sounds that you are feeding into the tape machine, and this is where all music is completely different. Like, the instrument is very simple, but a live of Jérôme Nottinger is completely different from a live that I do. Some people would say that they are field recordings, but it's not really field recordings, because it's mostly like recording of noises, kind of like foley, if that's probably all the word. I mean, I do use field recordings in composition, etc., but for what I do live with the tape machine, it's mostly like close capture of noises that I produce with objects, or even with like normal instruments. In the case with playing with Anno, I have some sounds that I only use for this project. and other sound that I would use also in my solo things. But nevertheless, is the way in which they are like assembled live that is completely different. Like with Anno, there is of course like this research of like making like rhythmic pattern on the spot that in my solo live set is something that happens actually very rarely. And 50% I use these sounds, and the other 50% of my work is actually working with what Hanno is producing in the concert. So it's like duplicating and reassembling his patterns into like a meta pattern that becomes, you know, and when the two works together, it's becomes very complicated and sometimes very nice.
Maybe you could talk about your instrument that you're using tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The sampler and
it's a small modular system. It has four sample players that I trigger with pads, and the microphone and the looper and some percussions, a hi-hat, and yeah. Normally I would feed the looper with the percussions and play beats or textures with the samples, which are mostly electronic drum sounds, like from different drum machines or made with software. Or it's, then I play it quite randomly. I have like 100 samples on every sampler, and I just turned the before I select it very much, so I know every sound is good with every other sound, so it's I just can go blind on it. So yeah, mainly that's it, and they are modulated with LFOs and stuff, so they change in pitch, and yeah, it's a quite vivid sampling thing. In our project, it's 100%.
Well, I mean, it's always like the case with improvisation. It's 100%. It doesn't exist improvisation 100% in the sense that for a certain thing. I know that it's like from my sampler, the set of five. No, we don't know what is the form of the concert. We don't know anything. I mean, what we know is more or less what we are normally
the other one is doing, more or less.
What we are aiming at. Like, so I know that Anno is gonna play mostly rhythmic patterns, and I know that I'm also gonna try to work with this like rhythmic aspect, but even that is not necessarily true for like the whole duration of the concert. I mean, we can have also very long, completely abstract parts, or but yeah, I mean, it is totally improvised, even though when we say improvised music, we believe that it's like a aesthetic per se, or just like that it has a certain sound. Of course, our improvised music sounds more clubby in a way, or dub, or but nevertheless, it's completely improvised.
Improvised music.
No, yeah, but this doesn't mean that it's like no less improvised than, you know, what people call the improvised music. Small things. It's just like this concert, let's start in this, like, let's start sparse. That's like generally could be this, or at one point after a while let's try to do this, and to say this is just like let's have it like more techno and less dub after like 25 minutes, and maybe this doesn't even
last two concerts. We never talked about anything.
No, maybe the beginnings. We probably talked like, I mean, that's what everybody does. It's just like, how do we start? Oh, let's start quiet, or let's start like ready into it. Or, I mean, I don't know, but yeah, I mean, that's like very little talking.
We don't discuss the music actually, never. We had a concert in Ausland with Axel Dörner.
You're right. Yeah. It was actually with Axel.
With Clayton Thomas. And then the next day we went to the studio.
To the studio, we recorded.
Or the next week, or I don't know, we recorded. This is 10 years ago.
Me and Anno.
And after 6 years, I listened to the recordings. And I said, wow, that's cool. And I sent it to Untracked, and they immediately put it out.
Like stuff that was completely forgotten in his, like, in his hard drives, I guess. He listened to it, he edited it, he just had some small...
Actually a bass line.
Like a bass line.
That's it. It was one session and I cut it into six pieces. I made just a pause, added some bass, that's it.
Like, for me, it's like, it's still like, because I couldn't remember this session. At all, so you know, so when I listened to it, it's just like amazing. I was just like, how much like studio work Anno put in this, and it was just like, no, actually, I didn't do much. I was just like, really crazy, yeah. And then second record.
And the same with the second record, which we recorded stereo in Kiev on some shitty something. And I just put some bass notes on it and that's it.
Galko got the best part. And
And the next one is already like there. We recorded three concerts, so we just have to choose. We recorded one studio session and two live concerts, and it's lots of stuff.
Yeah, but somehow like the stuff like when I record like my live gigs, then I like listen to my. I don't know. There is something in the way Anno records live gigs that is like magical. He's in charge of all the recording part. And I don't know, he does it as I do. But if I would do it, this would never happen. It's true. Like you have like a magic touch in the, also in choosing the part.
Yeah,
I guess.
But it's not
I don't
so
know.
Much to do actually, because it's just like okay, I make a cut here and there, and here it could have some bass and maybe, I put a new drumstick on it like. Not even effects, nothing. It's actually, I only add the bass synthesizer. Which is like two notes on one track or so.
Yeah.
We are lucky that we have this. I never had this, like record a concert and it's the record. I mean, it's very rare in my life. It's like, okay, that's really cool. I mean,
this also for my guys. I mean, I never released any improvised music or like direct.
No, I've done records where we have like 24 tracks. Yeah. And here I have like five or so. It's like everything is there in the stereo or something.
Of course, if we record in the studio, it's more that you go like, let's do 40 minutes of this thing. I mean, it's just like a different, like you don't wanna like necessarily develop like a narrative as you have to do in a live concert. That you have to go from point A to point in a way that makes sense. In a live recording, you go like, you keep one idea that maybe you like for 20 minutes, even if it's too long, but maybe you get like more nuances of that without the pressure of moving forward to something different. You always think like, okay, then this, I got the best part of this, and then I edit it together with the next session, and then when you start thinking that, it easily gets into the 100 tracks. Say yeah, and then I add this. Studio records?
There is no.
It takes me like 5 years to compose it.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, the basic sound materials are pretty random in the beginning. So it's just like tape machine, one into the other, then I just randomly edit the reel of tape, not the loop, but just like the reel of tape. Random in the sense that I record in various points with various technique, I change the speed, and then I have like this big tape, and then from this tape I extract parts that are already kind of composed on the tape. But then all this goes into Pro Tools and then it's composed, but a lot of ideas come from improvisation or like a certain, like even total random approach.
Actually, I record everything I do that I like in the studio, which is a lot. And maybe I don't use it immediately, but it's just the practice I have for a long time that the moment I like it, I record it, and then I see later what I do with it. Or I have a certain project I'm working on, and I'm in the mood for this, but let's say I do something on the modular, and then I don't want to do, and I go to the vibraphone, and I play something. I think, that's nice, I record it. And I put it in this folder, and then maybe record something else, and then I mix it. It's like, and with this, what I'm doing the most in the last 6 years is like working with archives. So everything I do is pre-recorded. So I just feed I have a lot of sampler loopers, and I just make new sounds of pre-recorded sounds and arranging it. That's the main work I do. So it's a lot of recording and fine work with the samplers and recording sounds. And normally I would have a session of 300 minutes, and then the actual installation is 30 minutes. So it's just like einkochen, like cooking and just taking the best parts. It's everything is improvised, but not in the case that I play solo improvised music. It's improvising on the studio machine, which is only one. It's just a shoebox of modules. Meanwhile, it's only two modules and some LFOs. That's everything I have besides the live drum thing with the four sample players. With the live set, it's a little bit complicated with all this, because everything is very tiny and the pads, but actually it's like, it's a suitcase of stuff.
Say something, I believe that the guy playing the laptop very generally is more similar to a guy playing his trumpet than I am or Anno is with playing what we play. I explain why, because when you play a trumpet and you are in full control of that instrument, I don't believe, and hence you are also in full control of the music that is produced. When I play, I don't know if it's the same with Anno, but I believe, especially what he was saying before, that he doesn't even know what sample is coming. He knows that it's gonna like sound good because he chooses it in the beginning, but our control over the result is pretty, we are in control, but we don't really know what is gonna happen. I don't really know what is gonna happen second by second of what I do. You know, I know how to avoid the catastrophe, maybe. You know, like really like a very bad, like something that goes like really wrong with the internal feedback of the machine or whatever. This probably I can generally avoid, but I mean, people would ask me after a gig, it's just like, how long is this loop in second? And I just like, I don't have any idea. I mean, like, really, like, literally, I don't have any idea. I don't know, I say like, maybe 10 seconds, maybe 5. I mean, you know, it's like a bit different. Or like, I mean, I don't know. Like, and to a certain degree, I guess it's the same with you playing your modules, that there is like, sometimes something is just like, ah, this is
happening. I mean, I studied the drums and what we were talking at my place after the last concert when you asked me about the drum thing, and I said, I'm not fucking interested in playing the drums. It's like boom, 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 psh, tss. That's everything you get. And with the samplers, you have every knob, it has a lot different sound. And after I hear the sound, I have an idea about the rhythm to play. And I wouldn't have this with all this same boring, natural drum set sound. So for me, it's really good to have this random thing there, because it really inspires me every time. I'm surprised by the machine.
Yeah.
And I really like this setup.
And I mean, of course, like, if I'm playing with Anno, of course, there is always, like, the effect in which, like, you are surprised by what the other person does, you know? This, like, is what is actually cool in playing, like, not playing by yourself. But what I believe, that both me and Anno, if we play by ourselves, very often you are surprised, and that could be in a good or a bad way, you know, by the fact that, like, something is going, it's just like, don't know why this is happening, but cool. How do I keep this, you know? And then maybe you can't even keep it there, you know? I mean, so there's always this, like, kind of like surfing a wave that you maybe started somehow, or the machine started it, but still you're not in full control. I mean, this is what I believe. I mean, I'm not in full control. I mean, often. I did listen to improvised music. And don't take me wrong, if I go to an improvised music gig, classic improvised music, like we are talking like instrumental, acoustic improvised music mostly, there are like many of these gigs that I really, really like, other than I'm bored to death.
Yeah, but it's different to listen on records. Exactly. I can't listen to this music on records. Maybe one from like from Bratzmann or something from the 70s or so, which is amazing.
I was listening to this more because, of course, like, you are in Berlin since forever, and if you wanted like to know about this music, you would just go and see it at Ausland. It's not everywhere. When I was in Palermo,
in Berlin,
to know. I mean, but I was like in Palermo, it's just like the only access that I could have to all this music was just like buying the records.
Yeah.
Really, like, literally buying the records, because we are also talking like pre-internet era, and buying the record would mean just like a mail order catalog thing that they would send to your home, and you would call them at the telephone and say like, place an order. You know, and I was buying like all this stuff, like Axel, or I have like Annette Krebs records, or like, you know, like all this.
I also listen to a lot of improvised music concerts, but actually, I stopped doing improvised music 20 years ago. The only guys I play is Valerio and Groupshow. I actually hate this kind of average improvised music concerts, that's why I stopped, because I was like 3 of 5 gigs I play, it's like just average, it's all the same. So it's very hard to find people that you are like really connected, and then it's more like a band. So I have this feeling very much with Valero. I can do whatever I want. It's every time it's cool. So that's really rare.
We have fun playing. Yeah.
It's not just you played this at minute 10 and could you next time? I mean, who wants this in his life? I don't. Actually, I must say, the most music I listen to is like old jazz records.
So not
Chet
so,
Baker, yeah. Coltrane, the ballads, and Bossa Nova. This kind, I love. I also electronic music and like also the Robert Ashley we just heard, and also newer electronic music. But I listen to so much music in my life, and I make so much music every day. So sometimes I just don't listen to anything at all. And then sometimes I only listen to pop music, and then I only listen to I listen to a lot of folk music.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan, Neil Young and stuff. But yeah, I heard a lot of free jazz and jazz and...
I don't listen... I would say that I would listen like to 30 minutes of music, which is not mine, per day. 30 minutes, 1 hour sometime. But this is the problem, that when I'm listening to music, I can't do anything. It's not like, I'm gonna listen to a record while I'm cooking. Or, I know people that actually can read a book while listening to music. I get like so completely, and I'm frustrated, like also with my son. I always go like, I should listen to more music because I love music with my 6 years old son. But I never do, because it's either, I can't get concentrated on anything else. It's just like something that completely sucks my mind somewhere else. So, for instance, with my son, we only listen to, finally, only like to techno stuff, to Heutecker, because we are dancing it. That's like something that I can do while listening. But it's never gonna be like, now while we are playing a board game, or while we are building a Lego, there is gonna be music in the background, you know? Because then it's just like, I feel like my mind is splitted. I'm a very bad music listener in that sense. Mm-hmm. Or a too good one. It's a bit frustrating. Yeah. So when I listen to music, I just like literally sitting there just to listen to the music. And this is the point. Plus, I mean, if you like having music and in the meantime doing something else, I mean, I don't even remember to what you listen to. I mean, I don't remember. You know, it's just like while we were eating, there was Robert Ashley there, and I would never ever like put on a record in a social circumstance. Not the Robert Ashley record, nor any other record, because like finally I can't talk to people anymore, especially if it's something I like. I mean, that's also like the other thing. Just like, yeah, if there is like some shitty music in the background, then I can sort of bypass it and I don't get this split. But if it's something I like, I mean, I was sitting there eating and just like not giving a shit about you guys because I was like listening to Robert Ashley. I mean, yeah.
Damit wären wir am Ende der dritten Folge von Ad Hoc FM. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören.
Wir wünschten, wir könnten euch schon neue Veranstaltungen ankündigen, aber die Situation gibt das leider nicht her. Von daher müssen wir uns noch gedulden und abwarten, was die Zukunft bringt.
Um darüber auf dem Laufenden zu bleiben, wie es im Allgemeinen mit der Pracht und im Besonderen mit der Veranstaltungsreihe FM Ad Hoc weitergeht, könnt ihr natürlich die üblichen Social-Media-Kanäle nutzen oder euch in den Pracht-Newsletter eintragen. Der ist neu. Dazu müsst ihr nur die Website www.pracht-ev.net besuchen. Dort habt ihr die Möglichkeit, eure E-Mail-Adresse anzugeben und bekommt dann ungefragt alle neuen Nachrichten zur Pracht und zur Veranstaltungsreihe. Anhören könnt ihr das Ganze natürlich wie gewohnt auf den üblichen Plattformen Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts und so weiter. Vielen Dank. Schöne Woche noch. Ciao.
Tschüss, macht's gut. FM.